take a little bit of a break from the Bab Metzia and the Yonah Yoma, the yeshivas. Everybody is learning Hilchot, the Sugyot of Chanukah. So today's Shir Klali will be devoted to Chanukah, specifically to this question of what's known as Achsanai, or a boarder, a traveler, and different ways. It has very important halachic ramifications for people of your ilk, right? Namely, people who are living away from home, and what should you do? What should you light? One of the things that I'm not going to discuss right now, though it needs to be discussed, and we should talk about it in the Shirim, is not only whether you should light, is also where you should light. Right? Should you light in your dorm rooms? Should you light in the cheder ochel? The answer here is in the cheder ochel downstairs, but how to get that, that's a different question halachically. But we'll leave that aside for the moment. Now I want to focus really on the question of the, we said that the basic mitzvah of meaning in all the shirim, it's been said already, the basic mitzvah of Ner Chanukah is Ner Ish Uveito, right? That's the formulation. That it's a man, a person, and his, how would you translate Beito?
Household.
His household, okay? That seems to be the idea. Which means that the core mitzvah is clearly a mitzvah of the family, a mitzvah of the household, right? And the I mentioned this in my shir, and I'll just say it quickly here. If you think about it, it's not necessarily a given that it should be a family mitzvah. I mean, there aren't many other mitzvot like it. You could talk about perhaps Korban Pesach. What? Right. If you think about it in terms of mitzvot, the three mitzvot, what are the three mitzvot of Pirsum HaNes? Ner Chanukah, Megillah, and Arba Kosot. Okay, for the guys in my shir, if they don't know it, they're in trouble. Right, because we went through it well, but everyone else, you should know it as well. Those three mitzvot, if you think about it, they're very different in terms of the way that they are fulfilled. Right, they're all Pirsum HaNes, but Megillah is the one which is the clearest pirsum, in the sense that it's performed where? In the tzibur. Berovam hadrat melach. And melach, excuse me, not melach. That you have a, that the larger the minyan, the better. Right? That's the idea. If we were following that model, right, we should have public candlelighting the way that along the lines of Chabad, or at the very least the mitzvah should be in the Bet Knesset. Our lighting in shul at night at around Ma'ariv is a minhag which is not mentioned anywhere in the Gemara, but a minhag that starts sometime around in the time of the Gaonim. It's a very nice minhag, and we even make brachot on it, and that's a different discussion. Why do we make brachot, etc.? But that's not the mitzvah. Right? The mitzvah is Ner Yishu Veitel. So that's already different. The focal point, the prism of Ner Chanukah is not the Tzibur, but the Beitel. And if you take it one step in the other direction, Arba Kosot is a personal mitzvah. Right? It's different than, let's say, Kiddush. Kiddush, the gathering, makes a one Kiddush, and you have one kos, and people perhaps share from that kos, perhaps they don't even have to share from that kos. When it comes to Arba Kosot, so certainly the way that we paskin the halacha, everyone has to have their own Arba Kosot. And so you can have Pirsum HaNes with a different focal point. The focal point in Pesach is perhaps Chayav Adam Lirot Et Atzmo Ki Ilu Hu Yatzah Mimitzrayim. Every person has to have that personal sense of redemption and exodus. And that's how you express it with these four cups of wine. The when it comes to the Megillah, so there it's a communal threat that was blunted. When it comes to the idea of Ner Chanukah, so on the one hand, it's sort of a combination. On the one hand, it is from the family as being the core of the mitzvah, but where? But what? There's an interface. What's the interface? To the tzibur outside. In other words, it's not that the mitzvah is to light it in my own home and to be warmed or enlightened by this candle that's burning, but rather it's lit at the entrance of the home, ideally, and you're saying to the world, this is a home which is mifarsem, this miracle of Chanukah, let's say. Okay, or there are other ways to explain it as well, but now is not the time to get into it. The point, though, is that it's this interface between the family, the household, and the tzibur. And that can be understood as fundamental to the mitzvah. It's very important to realize it's not a coincidence. Right? Because, as I said, Pirsum HaNes could very easily have been in the communal forum, and it's not in the communal forum. So if it's in the family forum, then you have to ask, what is the nature of this mitzvah that lends itself to the family? Any thoughts? Right? So I have a lot of thoughts about it. Right? But I'll just give one idea. Maybe if there's time at the end, we'll talk a little bit more. But the basic idea, perhaps, is that if you're dealing with the threats that Chanukah is celebrating, that we were able to defeat, right, the spiritual threats, the question of the cultures and the clash of cultures and standing for your own values and mikdash and all of that, right, so that starts in the home. And that starts in the home, and that's where the core values are going to be, and the kind of home that you have is going to be able to perhaps withstand everything going on outside, and will be able to also enlighten what is going on outside. But if you don't have a core family structure, so then you're going to have much more difficulty doing that. That's one idea. I think there are many others that can be said at this point, but as I said, we'll leave that, if you will, for a different discussion. Maybe if I have time, I'll talk about it as we go on. But in any event, that is a fact. That is the mitzvah. Ner ish uveito. And then you have, just again, in background, you have two other levels. What are the two other levels? Mahadrin, which is?
One for each person.
Right, that you light a candle for each member of the family. Again, focus on the family. Right, you're saying this is a family unit. I want to tell you something about my family. When we light the 6 candles, or 10 candles, or 3 candles, however many ever members of the family there are, every night it's 3 candles, it's 6 candles, it's 10 candles, and we light the same amount. We're saying this family unit has these number of people who are going out and spreading light into the world. We'll say, okay, that's the message of the Mahadrin. And what's the message of the Mahadrin? Min Mahadrin. What? You have the machloka between Beit Shammah and Beit Hillel, but well, let's say Beit Hillel, we're counting up. What is the mitzvah? Yeah.
The connection between of the nes, like you can't connect to this.
Okay, so first of all, we're adding the context of the nature of the miracle. That's not just there was a miracle of light, but that miracle lasted for 8 days. Okay, that's, again, the way that we do it, building up. And what else? What about the family and what about the individual?
Everyone lights according to the day.
Okay, so the Ashkenazic minhag, as described by the Rama, is that everyone has their own Chanukiah, right? Everyone has their own menorah in the family. And the Sephardic minhag? Right? Is it the Balabayit necessarily?
Just one person.
A representative of the home. who's usually going to be the senior member of the home. Okay, but it doesn't have to be. Right? There's even a shita which we don't paskin like. Very interesting shita of the Ran. We don't paskin this way, but it's just the fact that it exists tells you a lot. The Ran says that a child can be the representative of the family. Well, it's one of the kids. You give it to a 10-year-old kid and say, you light tonight. And he makes the brachot, and he's motzi the entire family. Right? That speaks volumes about the nature of the mitzvah, right? Because it's telling you that the kid couldn't be motzi anyone for anything. Right? He's not considered to be, he hasn't entered majority yet. So he can't be, I can't hear Kiddush from him. But how could I be Yotze Mitzvat Chanukah? Come on, give me an answer. Because he's just a representative of the house. Exactly. In other words, as long, according to that opinion, it doesn't matter who's lighting, as long as it's a member of the household who is lighting, so then you're Yotze, because it's a mitzvah of the household, of the family. So any representative would work. So we don't go that far. We don't pass them like the Ran. Right? If we say that the person who's lighting doesn't only have to be a member of the household, he has to have a responsibility on his own. Right? He has to be a person with da'at. But the fact that it exists tells you about the nature of the mitzvah. So according to the...
But even according to the Ran, you would not allow a non-Jew to light the candle.
Because it's not part of the household.
And if we have a case where he'd be part of the household, he would still want to allow it. Eventually.
Okay. So, first of all, I don't know if an Eved couldn't light it. Okay. If it was an Eved Kanani. I don't recall first say anyone speaking about that halacha. But I could make a good argument that an Eved Kanani should be able to. You could say Afhein Hayu Ba'otanes, certainly according to the approach of the Bali Tosfot. But what? What?
We can't use Afhein Hayu Ba'otanes in that context.
I don't know about that. But I would say that being part of a household has to also be able to be representative of the value of Ner Chanukah. So if you're talking about a goy, if you're talking about perhaps an Eved, as I said, I'm misupak
at the moment. Correct.
Right, the seder. So the seder. Okay. Absolutely. Okay, the seder. But I don't know, not only Eved of Kohen, it could be Eved of Eved of Kohen, but the reason why Rav Aron is speaking specifically, and he'll correct me if I'm wrong, but the reason I believe that Rav Aron is speaking about Eved Shel Kohen is because an Eved of a Kohen can eat Truma. Okay, normally speaking, right? Only the Kohanim here can eat Truma, right? We can't even eat it because we're Tmeim. But an Eved of a Kohen, who you would say is an inferior, is a second class Jew. That's probably the best definition of their Judaism. Right? They're sort of like a second-class Judaism in terms of their halachic responsibility, which is why when you free an Eved, automatically he becomes a full Jew. He doesn't have to go through any other form of Geirut. But if he's sold from a non-Kohen home into a Kohen home, the moment that he's becomes part of that household, he can eat Truma. Because everyone in the household can eat Truma, and he's part of the household. So by the same token, right, that proves that an Eved is part of that family unit. Which would mean that, by extension, that in the case of Ner Chanukah, that he should be able to light for the entire family. And you can make that kind of jump. Right? The Mashad Kavanta? So that is the... So that's with regard to the core mitzvah. But if now, just to keep this in mind, okay, this is all by way of introduction. I haven't gotten to the Makarot yet. The question of the, if you will, the Ashkenazic minhag as opposed to the Sephardic minhag. Right? So even within the Ashkenazic minhag, it's not so clear, and we have to make the question, right? So, Tuvia said, okay, everybody lights their own Chanukiah, but the question now really has to be asked, one second, why? And how? Right? How do you get to, if the mitzvah is a family mitzvah, how do we get to this idea that the individual could start lighting their own Chanukiyot and making brachot? Now, if you look at the Rambam, right, and my guess is that most of you have seen the Rambam doesn't say that each person lights his own Chanukiah. What does the Rambam say?
One person lights
for representing all the people in the family. Meaning, the Rambam says that if you have 10 people in the family, on the last night, how many candles do you light?
80.
80, right? But only one person lights them. Right? For the Rambam, it never left the sphere of the family. The Rama, when he quotes the Rambam, or attributes his Shita to the Rambam, he says each person lights. But that's not what the Rambam himself said. The Rambam said that one person lights all of them. Because for the Rambam is keeping it within the realm of the family, the household. So there's a representative. It's just saying, this is what my family has. This is that I'll tell you, just as an aside, it's a chumrah. My kids like to make fun of me for it, but I do this. In other words, if I have my kids have Ashkenazic minhag, so everyone lights their own Chanukiah. But if someone's away from home that night and isn't lighting their Chanukiah, so when we light, I will light a Chanukiah without a bracha for that missing person. Right, for the person who's not there that night, for whatever the reason, so that the family, right, so that at this point my family has shrunk. It's grown, but the household has shrunk as a result. Now, thank God, we've had two married daughters, and with grandchildren, all of that, but they're not part of my household anymore. They're their own households, so I don't light for them anymore. Right? But for the other people, it could be that a person has his own apartment. My son has his own apartment in Yerushalayim, so he's not part of this household unit anymore. He has his own household. Right? So this is we'll get to that part a little bit later, but the point is that as a chumrah, I follow the Rambam Shita. People who are part of the household, so if a Chanukiah is lit for them. Okay, that's the idea, but that's different than what the Rama says. The Rama is saying that each person, according to the Rama, if the person isn't there right now, he shouldn't light, or I don't need to light for them, because it's become a personal mitzvah, and the person isn't here right now. Okay, so that's the background. So
we're not saying that since everyone was part of the miracle, they can have an individual chiyuv to light.
I'm sorry?
Since everyone was part of the miracle, we're not saying that each individual has a chiyuv to light.
Okay, so it seems that I don't have an individual chiyuv. Correct. I have a chiyuv as part of my household. Now, my household might have one person. Right? I might be the only member of my household. But if I'm part of a larger household, my chiyuv was part of that household. Right? In that regard, I guess, it's different a little bit than the mitzvah of, let's say, Korban Pesach. Right? Korban Pesach is also Isha Beito, but each person has a responsibility to eat a kazayit from that Korban Pesach. Right? I can't say, well, now we got to, that's a good segue for what we're about to do. Okay? So now let's take a look at the Makorot in front of you. So the first one is the Gemara, I made this as a Daf Makorot, for people who don't have the Gemarot, right? You can take a look at it. It's a Gemara. It's just a few lines in the middle of Chaf Gimel Amud Aleph. The Gemara tells the following story. Amar Rav Sheshet Achsanai Chayev B'ner Chanukah. First, he makes the statement. An Achsanai, what's an Achsanai?
A lodger.
Is Chayav in Ner Chanukah. Why would I think that he's not Chayav in Ner Chanukah?
He's not home.
Because he's not in his own home. Okay? But he has the Chiyuv. So then the question is, what do you mean you're chayav? That mean you light your own? So the Gemara very quickly seems to dissuade us of that idea. Amar Rabbi Zeira Meresh. Ki have ki avina beirav. So originally, when I was in the in yeshiva, in the Beit Rav. So, and I was being put up in someone's home. Mishtatafda b'prite b'hadai ushpiza. So I would give a pruta, I would contribute a small amount of money. Truth is, oil for candles isn't that much money to begin with. So I would give my share, as it were, in terms of the oil, and it would be lit within the context of the, of that household. I became part of the household as a result. Batar de Nesibe, after I married, at Nesibe Itata, if I married a woman, Amina, so I said, Hashta vaday lo tzrichana, now I can save my pennies for another day. I don't have to pay. Why? De kamadlike alai bego betai. They're lighting for me in my own home. Okay? So that's a really strange concept, if you think about it. He's not at home. He's not seeing the light. His wife lives in a different town. For whatever the reason, he has now gone to yeshiva for a couple of weeks, let's say. And he's away from home. A couple of weeks, a couple of days, a couple of months, it doesn't matter. He's away. So, okay. So because the light, it's being lit somewhere else, he's yotze, and Rav Zeira's answer is, yes. Right? Because the mitzvah is a family mitzvah. I don't have to even have seen it. Right? It's just the fact that the mitzvah is being done for my family and by my family, so I am part of that family and I'm yotze my mitzvah. So in that regard, it's different than Korban Pesach. We never say that with regard to a Korban Pesach. Right? If for whatever the reason, my family is eating the Korban Pesach, I don't say, and I wasn't in Yerushalayim, I would have to bring a Pesach Sheni. I wouldn't say that I was Yotzei the mitzvah. So there's an individual mitzvah. Here, it's purely a family mitzvah. The Shulchan Aruch, in bringing this idea, so the question becomes, where you should be lighting, and this is really number two and number three. I'm mentioning this as more of an aside as opposed to the thrust of the shiur itself, because here in the case of the Achsanai, giving the idea, so first of all, there's more to the sugya itself, but I want to focus on that last line, but just a little bit of an expansion on the first line. Achsanai she'en madlikin ala veveto, there's a Shulchan Aruch, so if you don't have someone, so where you're single, or for whatever the reason, no one is lighting at home, right? Your wife, your parents, whoever they are, they're traveling tonight. They're not going to be lighting, and you are in a different place. Tzarich letet pruta lebalabayit. So then you have to give and participate in the cost of the candles. Lishtatef imo b'shemen shel ner Chanukah. V'im yesh lo petach patuach la'atzmo. So if you have your own room, basically, and you have your own lodging space, because frequently in throughout most of human history, people not only shared rooms when they were lodgers, they also shared beds. Okay, so this is not at all a given that you're going to have your own room. Im yesh lo petach patuach la'atzmo, tzarich la'adlik b'pitcho. So then, for your hotel room for the tonight, that's your home. So then you don't join with the innkeeper because you have your own home and you should be lighting there. So even though you're not eating, let's say there's a dining room in this hotel, as in most hotels. So you should light in your own room. However, the Rama says, "Yesh omrim devizman hazeh shemadlikim bifnim mamash yadlik b'makom she'ochel v'chein nahagu." So then you should light where you're eating, which is what happens in most hotels, and in most yeshivot as well, that you light where people eat and not where people sleep, because that's a more of a question of the where you are situated. But I don't want to get into it right now. Or any questions about that point, we'll wait till afterwards. I'd be happy to entertain them after the shiur. The Mishnah Berurah, very important Mishnah Berurah, okay? And this is really why I brought it, because this is a common misconception. Mishnah Berurah says, Makom she'ochel de makom achilato ikar, dafka linyan achsana'i hanal. Right? That when you're talking about where you eat, don't make the mistake that you can light wherever you eat on any given night of Hanukkah. But it's specifically referring to a person who is sleeping in that home, right? Or in that inn. She'en beito etzlo ol de inyan ben asamuch al shulchan aviv. Or if you're dealing with a child who is part of the family. Avami she'so'ed etzel chaveiro ba'akrai. Okay, this happens all the time. You're in a Hanukkah party. And in the Hanukkah party, so you have the Hanukkah party, they light the candles. Okay? Happens in the southern hemisphere, I guess it happens less often because people are lighting later, right? Because of the timing. But even so, certainly in the northern hemisphere, and it's the winter, so people will gather at, you know, the classic Chutz La'aretz Hanukkah party on the Sunday, right? They gather at around, depending on how much football they want to watch. They gather sometime in the afternoon. And then at around 4:30, 5 o'clock, they light the Chanukiah and they go into dinner. So then you'd say, okay, I light here, right? At my grandparents' home or at my cousin's, wherever it is. And I will be yotze. So there the Mishnah Berurah says, no, that is not the case. This is a very common misconception, and it's absolutely wrong. If you have if you're eating at somewhere else, v'yesh lo sham bayit ba'oto ha'ir, and you have a home in the same city, meaning that you're going to be sleeping there tonight, tzarich leilech lebeito lahadlik sham ner Chanukah. So you have to light at home. So again, depending on the circumstances, if you are, perhaps ideally, you should light before you go to the party, if at all possible, and leave the candles burning when you go to the party. If you can't, because the party starts too early, so then you should go to the party and make sure you get home in time to light your candles, right? Or have someone lighting at home to be motzi everyone, whatever it is. But you're not yotze if you light at the party, or for that matter, if you answer amen to the person lighting at that party, right? Because it's his home or her home. And you're not yotze. You have to be lighting in your own home or within your own household. Yeah.
What would be considered a city in during this context? Like, for instance, for larger cities where it's broken up by district.
I think that it's a question of what he means is a question of whether it's in travel distance, that you're going to be sleeping there that night.
So as long as you're...
Or wherever you're going to be sleeping. If you're, let's say, you're visiting family in a different town and you're going to be going to a hotel, that's your home for the night. That's what he would say. Okay, so that is an important halachic point, which I just want to make sure that everyone is aware of. But let me get back to the question at hand. Based on this, right, and this is the straightforward, I was about to say simple, not simple, but it's a straightforward halachic position of the Sephardic community, right? If you are in a situation where you are not at home and they are lighting at home, what do you do? Based on the Gemara, what do you do? You don't light? Right, you're yotze with the fact that they're lighting. I'm going to skip a few makorot just to show you how far this is taken. And the halacha, this is a very much an accepted position in the Sephardic world. The Chavadat, there's a little bit of a question if everyone goes this far, but this is what he says. Asher, number 10. Asher al ken, gam im yirtzu b'acharei yeshiva l'achmir al atzma, u'lahadlik neirot Chanukah v'chadreihem. So if people want to be machmir, right? You have, I don't see him. Sonny, are you here? Okay. Yeah. So Sonny wants to light Chanukiah here. So they don't. You can't. Im yirtzu b'acharei yeshiva l'achmir al atzman l'adlik neirot Chanukah b'chadreihem, einam reshaim levarech. So you can light the candles, sure, light whatever you want, but don't make a bracha. Sheyesh bezech shash bracha levatala. Right, there's a, we have to be concerned that that's bracha levatala. You were yotzei with your parents. And because you're part of the family unit, this is the assumption, right? There are those who argue that a person who's living away from home, for as long as you guys are living away from home, you're not part of that family unit for Ner Chanukah. There's that argument. But he's saying, no, if you are financially dependent, right, which most of you, perhaps all of you are, on your parents, so then you are part of that family unit. Right? You're not. It's not like you're a situation where you are have your own apartment, you're living on your own, you're paying your own bills, etc. No, you are being, you're in a dormitory based on tuition that your parents paid. So you are a member of that household. You're yotze with their halakat neirot. Now he goes so far as to say, and other, as I said, this is not unique to Rav Avadia, that even though it's in different time zones, this is really, think about how crazy this is. Right? I say crazy in the sense of remarkable, not crazy in terms of, because it logically it follows. When, let's say, right, you have a, as I said, it's a minhag of the Sephardim, but it applies Ladina probably for Ashkenazim as well, if they want to follow this. You are in a, you're in a, your family is in Australia. Right? 9-hour difference right now to Melbourne?
Yeah.
Okay? So, when it is the first night of Chanukah in Melbourne, this coming Sunday night, Bezrat Hashem, right? So it will be approximately noon, maybe a little bit even earlier, 11 o'clock or so, here in Israel on Sunday morning, when they are lighting the candles. Okay, so it's well before Chanukah's even started. And they light the candles and they burn for an hour. 2 hours. Madre. Right? Learn, burn late. But well before Chanukah has started here in Israel. Right? In the other direction, Los Angeles, right? It's a, right, here's Sam. So we'll have that, you, when Chanukah starts here, it will not start in Los Angeles for another 10 hours. Right? So, and by the time it's Hanukkah there, it's too late to light here. So, your yotzei with the hadlaka that's being done in a place where you personally, right, it's either not Hanukkah yet, or it, by the time they light, your chiyuv is over. And you're still mekayim the mitzvah. Because the family is determined by where the core of the family is. So when they're lighting there, that is the lighting for the family. So you, so what Rav Avadia says is for a yeshiva student to be lighting in his dorm room with a bracha, right, is going to be problematic. Now that's based on the straightforward reading of the Gemara. But since Rabbi Zera said, you're mekayim the mitzvah as part of the family, that's it, you're done. Okay, so when the family lights, you're lighting. If the family doesn't light, then you have to make, perhaps then you make, have to make sure that you light. Right? But that's, in a normal situation where the family is lighting, that isn't an issue. Where does the Ashkenazic custom come from? So it comes from a piece from the 14th century, 15th century, the Trumat Hadeshin, one of the more important late Rishonim of Ashkenazim, number 4. And he says, it's, by the way, it's interesting, the Trumat Hadeshin is a Shailut and Shuvot, but what makes it, what's something unique about the Trumat Hadeshin is that he wrote the questions. Right, he. It's called the Deshen. By the way, the gematria of Deshen is 354, and there are 354 questions. Okay, so he, you know, I guess he might, if he had 355, he said, well, I don't have a good gematria. So that's it. So not going to answer. So it's clearly based on situations. This is a good example of that. But he wrote the questions and he wrote the answers. So the question was, Achsanai shehu nasui, Rishai hu lahadlik mibracha chutz lebeit ha'olav. Are you allowed to? You don't have to. But it's Hanukkah, for God's sake. How could I not light a Chanukiah? Just because my wife is lighting in a different town, I'm not going to light here? Right, that's basically the question. So, he brings various shitot here, and he says that the question was raised by, he calls Chan Me'agdolim, and then he talks about this Gadol student who disagreed. But basically, one opinion was that you're able to, right? And he gives two reasons why you can light your own and with a bracha. One was that one time he relied on his wife, and turned out that she was relying on him, and nobody lit. So in order to make sure that that doesn't happen, right, he said, okay, from now on, I can't trust my wife. So, okay, fine. That's one thing, okay? The other was that, which is this second line here, he says, Dahave nami, you see in the bold, have nami bichlal ha-mehadrin. So he says the following, since we Ashkenazim, we light, not when we're traveling, we light in the family, everyone lights their own Chanukiah. What does that mean? It means that the Mahadrin, and this is what the meaning of the Mahadrin was, according to this idea. The Mahadrin wasn't the way that I described it before, the way the Rambam, that it's a description of the family. But rather what the Mahadrin said that it's true, the core mitzvah is a mitzvah of the family. We're going to be mahader, and we're going to turn it into an individual mitzvah. As part of the original takana, it's not clear exactly when the mahadrin came about, but as an extension of the original mitzvah, it's not just a family mitzvah, it's also an individual mitzvah. And if it's also an individual mitzvah, so each person, if they want to be mahader, they're going to light their own candle. Again, candle, the mahadrin, not mahadrin min a mahadrin. Each person will light their own candle. And of course, if you're mahadrin min a mahadrin, then you're lighting your full menorah. But it has transformed the nature of the mitzvah. This is the big chiddush of the Ashkenazic world when it comes to Hanukkah. This is what the Rama was talking about. That it is not just a family mitzvah. It is also, or can also be, not has to be, but can also be as part of the hidur of the mitzvah, is that each person does it. So now, if that is the nature of the mitzvah, so then, if I could do it next to, and I'm not talking about getting into the question, should husband and wife light their own Chanukiah together, you know, in the household. Let's say they can, okay? Or certainly, man, wife, woman with their child, okay? Their son, their light, fine. If there could be 5 menorot at home, so then why can't there be 4 menorot there and 1 here? Right? 4 menorot for the 4 people who are still sleeping there, and there's 1 here for the husband, in this case, is on a business trip. Right? He's in a different place. Why shouldn't that work? I could light my own menorah there. Why can't I light my own menorah here? That's the argument. So so his student disagreed. And he said, if you're Yotzeh, you're Yotzeh. You can't decide that you're going to add more Chanukiah. That's not the Mahadrin. The Mahadrin's in the house itself, but not outside of the house. That was the other opinion. The way that the Truma Tadeshen comes to his maskana is that he agrees with the first opinion, but only for the second reason. He said, if it's a question of people forgetting, then okay, people forget. Those things happen. Accidents occur. We're not going to allow for a bracha levatala just because somebody's wife got confused. Okay, that's not a reason to allow any traveler to start making brachot, because sometimes people make mistakes. People make mistakes, that's part of life. But the halakha is that you should not be lighting. However, he said the second reason, namely that it's an extension of the Mahadrin principle, and Mahadrin means that it's an individual mitzvah, that he buys, that he's willing to accept, and that becomes the Ashkenazic practice. The Shulchan Aruch brings this idea and says, we meaning the Sfaradim, right, he was aware of the Trumat Hadeshen, it was in his library, but he says, the Trumat Hadeshen writes this, we do not accept it amongst the Sfaradim. We are not convinced. We are still within, we still look at the mitzvah of Hadlakat Ner Chanukah as being Ner Ish Uveita. It's a family mitzvah, so if you, an individual within that family can't make another bracha, period. That's the Sephardic position. The Ashkenazic position, however, is that along the lines of the Ramah, where you light your own Chanukiah in the house, so you can also light your own Chanukiah outside the house. You don't have to. You can be Yotze with the, you know, we're not rejecting the core halacha of the Gemara, but if you want to, you can. Within this context, because of this sort of tension, I guess, between these two ways of looking at the Ner Chanukah. Is it a mitzvah of the family? Is it a mitzvah of the household? So a very important idea that I'll just take a look at number 9, what the Mishnah Berurah says. We'll perhaps mention something else in a minute, coming back to the sources that I just skipped. Number 9, he says, Lachain Ladina, just go to the bold. Ein lin hoken lahadlik bivracha, ela im ken shiomar sheino rotze latzeit bad lakat ishto, kuma shakat avrama achreze vayen lakameh. So he says, lahalacha, and people should be aware of this, that if you're lighting for yourself, and there are those who go so far as to say that you should even try to light before your family lit, which, again, for the Americans here, or for the Brits, that's not going to be too difficult. But for the Australians, it will be impossible. So, but you should, if you're lighting your own Chanukiah with a bracha, along the lines of the Ashkenazic practice, you should have in mind that you weren't Yotze with your family. Because if you were already Yotze with the family, right, so then how can you make a bracha now? Right, you've already been yotze mekayim the mitzvah. So you're lighting a Chanukiah, that's all well and good, but you're already mekayim the mitzvah. So you should be having in mind that you were not going to be yotze with your parents, and now you're going to be yotze yourself when you light. Let's just say an important aside with regard to the idea of the lighting when you're away from home. So there again, these two basic approaches: the approach of the, if you will, the Sfaradim, and which is the, if you take a look at the bulk of the Rishonim and the like, that's the direction that they're heading. This idea that the Trumat Hadeshen introduces, which became the source for the Ashkenazic practice, which most of us here follow. Okay. Now, in the few minutes that I have left, I only have like 6 minutes left, I just want to quickly talk about the question of a person who's traveling and what's considered a home. Well, let's say, for whatever the reason, here's the Shaila that I was asked this year. Okay? One of the alumni of the yeshiva is leaving to the airport on the first night of Hanukkah. Right? And he will have to leave his home before Hanukkah starts, before it's early enough. I told him, can you light at Plag HaMincha? Right? And he doesn't think so. Okay, he has to get to the airport. And there's no one at home because his parents are also traveling. Okay, so what should he do? Can you light in the airport? Can you light a, you know, there's a shita which is, I've already seen in the second edition was taken out, right? Someone, in the when there were smoking sections on planes, okay? So, can you light a candle on the plane? Go to the smoking section. You know, it's an overnight flight. It's flying in from Toronto. So, so light in the plane, is that considered your home? Right? So today, if you try to light, you know, I'd like to be there. Okay? But, you know, is there any point in trying to light there? Forgetting about the, you could also add another layer, which I'm not getting into. Assuming you could theoretically be yotze with an electric menorah, right? Which some people say that you can't. So can I take, let's say, you know, Tzomet, the Tzomet Institute sells electric Neirot Shabbat. Because without getting into why, those candles, and I recommend people buying them, because there's a, it's better to be using incandescent bulbs, basically, for these type of mitzvot. And so can I take one of those, so that's for Neir Shabbat, not for Neir Hanukkah. But can I take it and light it, you know, on the plane's battery, so, you know, it's just, nobody's going to bother me if I light a little candle, electric candle, without a bracha, let's say. Should I do that? Okay? So there's some people who might say yes. So let's just take quickly this question. Now, this became a discussion, especially in the modern era, because it starts with actually with Rashi. If you take, that's a little bit before the modern era. If you take a look at the Rashi number 6, Rashi is talking about, with the context of the Gemara says that if you are traveling and you cannot light your own Chanukiah, and you see someone else's candle burning, so you can make a bracha. You can't say lahadlik ner, because you didn't light anything, but you should say sha'asa nisim. You should say that you, right, that part of the mitzvah, if you will, the pirsum hanes, I'm mekayim. So Rashi, explaining that Gemara, number 6, says, ha'over b'shuk, v'ro'eb echad ha'chatzerot doleg. So you see a candle burning in the window, or candles. U'matzati b'shem Rabbeinu Yitzchak ben Yehuda, shamar mishum Rabbeinu Yaakov. These were the leading figures of Vermeisa. Delo huskaka brachazo elami shelo hidlik beveto adayin. O liyoshev b'sfina. So he says, gives two possibilities. One is a person who has not yet lit. That adayin is important because there are those who argue. Let's say and this is the way we paskin. If you're being yotze with somebody who is lighting at home, and you see candles, then you shouldn't say the bracha, because you were already mekayim the mitzvah. It's true, you didn't see them personally, but you were already mekayim the mitzvah. From Rashi, and there are those achronim who follow this, that you could make the following deal. You could say it's only if they haven't lit yet. Whereas if you know they're going to light in the future, you can say sha'asa nisim now. Okay? Because because they haven't been mekayim the mitzvah for you yet. Now, if the but then he adds the yoshev b'sfina. Yoshev b'sfina seems to mean the following: they had river boats in the Middle Ages, and you're traveling on the riverbank, and you see, you know, as you pass some town, you see Jewish homes with the their Chanukah burning. So then you could make the bracha of. Now the question becomes, well, why can't you light on the boat? Right, that's really the question. So you could give me two possibilities. One is Pikuach Nefesh, right? I don't know whether they would necessarily go so far to say Pikuach Nefesh, in a plane would say Pikuach Nefesh, but it's a technical problem, right? We'll say Pikuach Nefesh is a technical problem. Namely, either because you're sitting on a boat with non-Jews, who, if you try to light a candle, they're going to, you know, throw you overboard. Okay? Or because it's Northern Europe and there are winds and you can't light a candle because it's just going to blow out. Right? So there's no point in lighting a candle.
Maybe like respect the law of the land, maybe also like respect, I guess, the bird's rules.
I don't think that in the Middle Ages there were next to the life preservers that they said no open flames on board. But whatever it was, it's just a technical problem that I can't light here, but theoretically I could light here. Right? That's one possibility. The other possibility is that it's not a technical problem at all. Whereas even if there, you can go into your berth and you can light a candle there, it's meaningless to light a candle there. Why?
It's not where you...
Because it's not Beto. The fact is, I could say, wherever I lay my head, that's my
home.
Thank you. But nobody else knows Billy Joel. Okay, that's the idea. Fine. Right? That's where I put my head down. That's my home. Right? But but that's not necessarily the case. Maybe I need to have some kind of how long do I have to live there for it to be my home? Does it have to be a place which is a dwelling place? Right, so this is an interesting machloket amongst the Achronim. The Aruch HaShulchan, for example, so if you take a look at number 12, so he says, Lachein Tov, he's talking about a sleeping car on a train. He talks about the Nisiyot B'Misilot HaBarzel. And he says, Lachein Tov She'adlik Ner Echad Ba'agala She'yoshev Shem U'Levarech Alav De'Bener Echad Yachol La'asot She'lo Yakpidu HaNosim. He's aware that, if you start, making a big ceremony, it's going to bother people. But on the sleeping cars in, or maybe it's not even a sleeping car, maybe you're sleeping in the seat, right? You're just going to doze. That one candle won't bother the other passengers. So you can light the candle and you can make a bracha, because since you're in this car overnight, so for tonight, this is your home. You bought yourself a ticket, right? So this is your home for the night. That's his position. The this idea, right, is even magnified in the Tzitz Eliezer in number 13, where he says that if you're taking the Ashkenazic opinion that we spoke about before, that it's an individual mitzvah, then wherever I am, then I can be lighting it. In other words, say I don't even need a home anymore. I just need, it's now the night. As long as it was a family mitzvah, only a family mitzvah, he says, so then I can talk about it being only where there's a household, right, where people are living semi-permanently, right? But once it becomes a personal mitzvah, so then wherever I am, so I could be, it could be in a sleeping car, it could be if I'm camping and I'm sleeping out in a tent, little pup tent, or even if I don't have a tent, I can light within a lantern or something like that. So then I can light the candle there, because it becomes where I am as opposed to where the household is. Right? That's the idea of the Tzitz Eliezer. So that's, I'm not going to read the different shitot, the 14 and 15, don't have time. Take a look at it on your own. But I will finish with Rav Lichtenstein's position. Lichtenstein wrote a tshuva. This is back in 1973, when several of his, more than several, in the aftermath of the Yom Kippur War. So there were, the Yom Kippur War itself lasted about 3 weeks. Okay? The fighting lasted about 3 weeks, and the fighting finished roughly around Rosh Chodesh Cheshvan. But because of that was the last major war that Israel has fought, certainly on all of its fronts, and because of the nature of the war, people were only demobilized about 6 months after the war. Right? They were living out in the in forward positions for up to 6 months. So the question was, and including students from Har Etzion who were Hester soldiers, and they were sleeping in their tanks. And the question was, can they light Ner Hanukkah? You know, this is 2 months or so after the fighting had finished. So he wrote a tshuva, and basically he said, and he also included campers and people out, he said, no, it has to be basically a bayit. It has to be a permanent dwelling. So he said, if you are in a, let's say, a hotel room, so then this is a permanent dwelling and I'm buying a room for the night. That's okay. But if it's a not a permanent type of setting, and he talks about with regard to tents, he thought that the amount of time that you'd have to be there would be about a month, would be, and based on different halachic categories, which I won't get into right now, but he felt that if you're not in a permanent dwelling, so then you can't light with a bracha. You just can't light with a bracha. And this, and he quotes the Rashi in this regard. This is the that in the end of that first paragraph that I brought here. It is precisely this, it was originally written in Hebrew, then was translated. It is precisely this aspect of impermanence which, according to Rashi, causes the exemption of travelers on a boat. Namely, a boat used only for short trips along the shore and not long ocean voyages. In other words, if you're in a, if you rent a berth in the you know, the QE2, I don't know if the QE2 is even still sails, but if you're in a cruise ship and you have the berth, so that's okay, that's like a hotel room. But if you are on a river boat and you're traveling down, you see the shore of the Rashi, that it's not a technical problem, it's just simply that this isn't home. So according to this approach, so then if you're traveling and you're on the road, there's no point in trying to light a candle in the airport. There's no point in trying to light a candle on a plane or on a train or in an automobile, right? Which is probably why, you know, John Candy and Steve Martin never did that. But you don't light it because you need a bayit. And if you're not in a bayit, there is no place to be lighting the Ner Chanukah. So when I was asked, getting back to this particular student, so as it turned out, his parents, as I said, were traveling, but they were going to be in a hotel that night. So I said, okay, so when they light, they should have you in mind. You're part of the family unit, and you're Yotze, but you don't make a bracha. That's it. In other words, if you are, and if there is a situation, and you can have that situation of, we'll say, Ones Rachmana Patre, that the circumstances don't allow for you to light, but in general, obviously you should try, whenever possible, to make it that someone is lighting in the household. And then you're Yotze with that person along the lines of Achsanai. If that is impossible, right? So then, and also, just to add one other step, again, to plan your travel so that you can light. One of the discussions, I spoke about this at length with Rav Tabori as well. If, let's say, this is your home, you're not sleeping there that night. You're leaving at 4:30, right? So you can light in your home. If it's already the time for Hadlakat Neirot, you can light for, even though you're not going to be sleeping that night there. Right? So that's still your home. Right? So that you could do. But in, as I said, in this particular case, he said that he was going to be leaving too early to be able to do that. So so then, you know, you kind of shrug your shoulders and say, okay, that happens sometimes too. But in terms of the others, if you want to, because as I said, there are definitely those achronim who disagree with this position. So then, if you can light, so in some way, where you're sleeping with the electric light, so then I think that it's not a bad thing to do, to do, but I wouldn't make a bracha on it. Well, it's to light and to without a bracha and to have the so you have the kiyum hamitzvah if it is according to those opinions without having said a bracha. Okay.